All right. Well, happy Mother's Day, moms. Ta-da. You know what? I had this really illustrious plan put together. It was going to be amazing. I was going to give my own mother these flowers in front of all of you and become number one son of the day. Send the YouTube link to Adam in Minnesota and show him how I was the best son. All of it was going to be amazing. And then my mom got sick and isn't here on Mother's Day. So mom, these are for you. Everybody text her real quick, see if she's paying attention. No, I'm just kidding. Don't do that. All right. So, whew. Well, we already had church, so you're not going to get much of a sermon. But it is Mother's Day, so some of you are here just because your mom, you know, and you had to dress up. Actually, deodorant today, the whole works, right? I mean, it's Mother's Day. You got to really sell it on Mother's Day. I get that. I don't know if you're like me, but I feel like flowers are like the quintessential Mother's Day thing, you know? This maybe it's just because it's spring and everything's like blooming, but oh, flowers are everywhere, right? And if it's Mother's Day, it's like flower day, right? In fact, the mother who lives at my house and is the mother of my two sons, she's a crazy plant lady. And we got all kinds of fun work. And what's funny is the number of guys I've talked to today who've talked about how amazing this weekend is. What was the word you used, Amy? I have slave labor for planting for 2 days. Yeah, like that's what Mother's Day is, let's be honest. Because moms and their flowers and their flower gardens, this is just that time, right? And you could make the argument, why are we spending all this money on stuff that's gonna die, right? Is that really love? I tried it, it didn't work. We still got a lot of stuff to dig and plant, so try it if you will, guys. And some of you in honesty are thinking to yourself, is there a chance I could come up and catch Andy after the service and buy that vase he's not gonna be able to give to his mom anyhow? Because I just now am realizing it's Mother's Day, whoops, right? Come see me afterwards. We'll have a little silent auction at the end of the sermon time. Well, this is Jamie's little flower garden out front. And there's these flowers, which obviously being a big time flower guy, I know what they're called, but I'm going to let you guess. Okay, irises they are. Yep, that's what they are. Those right there, irises. I'm not messing with you. I know my irises. So, not the part of the eye, this is the plant, right? And here's what's crazy about these irises. I'm like, Jamie, these are beautiful. I didn't say irises, I said plants. And then she told me what they were. But I was like, man, they're kind of like everywhere and gorgeous. And she said, yeah, but if you look close, real close, down in here, way down in, ignore the maple leaf that's growing in our garden here too. But if you get way down there, there's like a leaf that doesn't match everybody else's. And I was like, okay, A, who cares, but B, okay, what is this? And she said this, well, this is actually a very rare lily that I bought off a special gardener somewhere and I put in this flower garden. And now, because of these irises, it's dead. It's buried under all of these beautiful irises. Why? Because these beautiful irises are invasive. They're taking over everything, right? And I started to think about this idea of invasive and things taking over stuff. Like in the spring, we see all this invasiveness in the plant world, right? And I don't want to like make this all girly, even though it's Mother's Day. Guys, I've got these logs. I mean, like about this big along, about like 6 foot high. They're man, thank you. Yes, they're like grunt man logs. You have to move them with a forklift. And I went out there the other day and I looked at my cool logs because I'm gonna do some chainsaw art, right? I mean, not anybody's gonna wanna show anybody, but I'm gonna do some chainsaw art. It's gonna be fun because chainsaws are fun. That's for Father's Day. But if you look closely at my awesome logs, I've got all of this stupid stuff growing out of my awesome logs because there's some invasive stuff taking over my logs, right? And so whether it's these logs or these beautiful irises, I kind of hit this reality last week where I was like, you know what? Everything is invasive. Everything is invasive. And then I started to think about this idea. I thought, you know what? That's probably true. Probably true beyond even the plant world and the weed world. But if you think about life, man, Everything in life is invasive. It's trying to take a spot. It's trying to find a place. It's trying to survive and take root. I mean, just everything is trying to take up some space in our life. This word invasive is an interesting one because it kind of goes in a spectrum, if you will, right? Like, you might think of the word invasive and you might think of the word, infringe, right? Sometimes things are kind of infringing on time or energy or priorities in my life. There's this infringement, right? And it's kind of low on the totem pole. Infringing is kind of this subtly pressing in, right, to my space. And something that's invasive might be kind of like subtly pressing in. Well, that's a nice entry-level invasiveness, right? But stuff presses in. And you might think to yourself, like, hey, I look at my life, I look at my calendar, I look at my list of priorities and what matters in my life. What things are infringing? What things are subtly pressing in, trying to occupy space, right? But it goes more than just infringement, right? Because you might move up to the intrude stage of invasiveness, where things literally are butting in uninvited. The infringement might be like, well, I'm just kind of subtly nudging into your space. But this idea of intruding, man, that's now kind of a little more forceful, a little butting in uninvited to take up some space in your life. And you might look at your life and you might think, what things are kind of not so subtle as they press in and begin to really aggressively butt in to my life? Everything's invasive. But you might just go with the real definition of the word, invasive, which means to invade, right? Which is literally a taking over or a conquering. This sense of trying not to subtly kind of lean in, not butt in a little bit uninvited, but literally to take over and conquer your mind, your thoughts, your life, your world, your priorities, everything. And I would challenge you to think about this on this beautiful flowery Mother's Day, that in each of our lives, there are some things that are maybe infringing, some things that are intruding, maybe some things that are flat out invading our life. And I'm not really talking about plants, though if you have a like section of woods like we do next to our house, you'll find like every spring, new weeds, new growth, something's fighting for that spot, right? And man, it's the same thing in our heart. Scripture says in Proverbs 4:23, keep your heart with all vigilance, for from it flow the springs of life. The NIV says, above all else, guard your heart, for everything that you do flows from it. In the New Living Translation, for those of us who can only speak in New Living Translation style, guard your heart above all else, for it determines the course of your life. See, here's the thing. Your heart is this important center of your everything, and you've got to guard your heart because everything is invasive. Your work's invasive. Your toys are invasive. Your desires are invasive. Your feelings and emotions can be invasive. Everything in this world has this desire to grow and to multiply and to squeeze space out of every area of your heart until you're overrun. Those irises in our front area are really pretty. And here's what's funny. Jamie says this, like, hey, we should probably cut those out or something. She's like, but what? I don't want to kill them. And I tell her, hey, guess what, babe? You chose to kill a precious little, what was it? A lily. Thank you. I knew it was a lily. Just checking to see if you knew. A precious little lily that was very rare to keep this invasive plant having space and life and spreading. In order to get some invasive stuff out of our life, man, sometimes you got to make choices. And we're like, doing nothing is still making choices. If you allow things to grow and just continue to be invasive, You are choosing to allow things to choke out other things in your life. So the priorities of your life, the things that matter, the things that God calls you to, you've got to carve out space, right? In fact, guarding your heart here, this idea, I did some research in the Mother's Day translation. I don't know if you're familiar with that one. It actually says this, to guard the garden of your heart. No, of course, there's no Mother's Day translation. I just made one for today. But the idea that your heart is a garden and you've got to guard and tend and care for the garden of your heart. Because here's the thing about Jamie's flower garden. There is only so much real estate, right? Now, admittedly, she's a crazy plant lady. So in our house now, we have plants all over the inside of our house and lots of plants everywhere else. And Jamie thinks the real estate just keeps growing. And because it's Mother's Day, I can't really say anything about it. So I'm not going to. But plants are invasive. I'm just really pouring my heart out here to you guys. Can you appreciate this? Like, I'm being invaded at my own house by plants, and I don't necessarily like them as much as the other people at my house. Yeah. Okay, anyways. Happy Mother's Day, babe. Sorry. Love your plants. I got you some flowers, too. No. Okay. Bummer. There it is. Yeah. Yeah. Tough stuff. Let's talk for a minute about guarding the garden of your heart. I'm going to give you three W's I thought of as I think about this idea of gardening and kind of taking care of this space that God's entrusted to us, right? And I was going to do M's because it's Mother's Day and I thought that'd be really cool. I just couldn't think of any M's. I kept looking at them. I was thinking like M&Ms. I want some M&Ms and that didn't work. So we're just going to go W's. Deal? Okay. Three quick little W's for you to hang on to as you think about in this season of life where we got all these flower gardens and we're growing plants and it's Mother's Day. As you think about guarding your heart and guarding and tending to the garden of your heart, three W's. Three W's. There we go, three W's. First one is this. Weeding the garden of your heart. You have got to weed the garden of your heart. You've got to. It is my absolute least favorite thing about plants and gardens is the weeding. I don't know if you're out in your garden recently and there's 1,000 little sprouts. And then Jamie's like, we got to get these out. And I'm like, no, hey, listen, God created those. We need to let them grow, right? And yeah, not so much. Scripture talks about this idea that the enemy sows some stuff. In fact, in Matthew 13, Jesus tells this parable of a landowner who's sowing some seed. And in the night, it says the enemy snuck out and he sowed all this seed and all this destructive stuff that it brings, right? And scripture is full of this picture of the enemy sowing things. The enemy sows doubt. He sows doubt. The very first conversation that we know of between the enemy, Satan, and humanity was this. Did God really say, don't eat of the forbidden fruit? Did he really say, really? You know what he's doing? He's sowing doubt. He's helping us question, is God really good? Can you really trust him? What if you got to walk through pain and hardship and difficulty and tragedy? Is God so good, really? Well, if our perspective is on the things of this life and the things that are temporary, I got some bad news. Every single one of us is going to face death. Every single one of us is going to suffer. Jesus said, in this world, you might have trouble. Nope, that would be the New Pansy translation of the gospel. It actually goes like this. In this world, you will have trouble. It's a guarantee. No money back, but straight up guarantee, right? We're going to face hard things. And we live in this illusion and the phoniness because the devil teaches us this idea of like, oh, if God was good, everything would be good. Good, 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 good. It was good, it was good, it was good, good, right? Okay, well, yeah, God's great. He's taken us from the land of the dying into the land of the living for all eternity. So many amazing things. But there's hard things, right? And the devil sows doubt over and over. He also sows division. It's one of his favorites, right? Division. That's why I hate math. Don't talk about division. 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 Dividing, separating, pulling apart, breaking relationship. He loves it. And especially if he can get you divided against God himself, right? and in your most important relationship. And he sows deceit, deceiving, lying. Jesus said he's the father of lies. He only lies whenever he speaks. It's just lies. It's his native tongue. He invented it. He's a liar, 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 pants on fire, right? That's it. Jesus said he's a liar. You can't trust a word that comes out of his mouth. The enemy sows doubt and division and deceit all the time. And you've got to weed the garden of your heart. You've got to see what's taking root, what's growing, and you got to grab it and eradicate it. You got to spray that sucker with, whether we spray with supernatural products that won't harm the environment or hurt our plants. But whatever it is you spray, you got to spray that stuff. Kill the weeds, right? Get rid of them. I try gasoline. That makes them die right there. But anyways, then I get out my chainsaw and we have Father's Day. Okay, but doubt, division, deceit, weed the garden of your heart. We've got to do it. We've got to pay attention to it. Paul said that we're supposed to take up the shield of faith, right? To extinguish all the arrows of the enemy and all the doubts and the division and the deception, the deceit, all the lies, all of it. Well, we can't do that on Mother's Day, so we're going to take up the spade of truth, not the belt of truth and the sword of the spirit, but the spade of truth. We're going to dig. That's stupid. I know. I thought it was just funny. Okay. Next W. Here we go. Weeding. And I'll bet you figured this one out because those of you who have kept plants alive, which I'm not in that conversation, but those of you who have kept plants alive, you know you got to water it, right? And here's the thing about water and plants and water, maybe in everything in general. Water has some really important properties. It is life-giving, right? Without water, death. You need water. Plants need water. People need water, right? It has a refreshing property to it. A cold drink of water on a hot day, a pool, swimming in a river. Man, there's refreshment there. And there's a cleansing element to water. Scripture says really in a cool way, kind of catching them in Ephesians here, husbands love your wives just as Christ loved the church, gave himself up for her to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with water through the word. And man, a relationship with Jesus Christ where we're connected to him, we're engaged, and we're spending time drinking from the living water, we're going to live a life that's full of hope and life. We're going to feel a sense of refreshment, even in the dry and hard and weary times. He shows up in ways to bring refreshment to our soul. And there's cleansing, right? We do baptism not because we're getting clean and soaked up and dipped in the water from our sin. No, it's just symbolic of the washing away of sin that happens when we confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord, believe in our heart, God raised him from the dead and in a relationship with Jesus Christ. Man, there's a cleansing element that's part of that. Your heart needs to be connected to the source of life. Jesus is life, man. He gives us what we need, the nutrient, the sustaining power to live. He gives us cleansing and forgiveness, refreshes our soul. It's a beautiful picture. That's what our heart needs. We got to weed it. We got to water it. And then we've got to watch. You know why we got to watch? Because everything is invasive. We've got to pay attention. Here's what we're great at. At my house, we crush the first weeding of the flower bed. Crush it. We're out there. We're ready. We're engaged. We usually do that, what, May? Maybe, yeah. Just May. May is when we do it. Yep. And then when we do our second weeding in September, it is amazing how much stuff has grown in that time frame between, you know, weeding one and two, right? You got to pay attention. Scripture warns us, stay alert. Watch out for your great enemy. And this isn't like an acknowledgement how awesome he is. It's how bad and significant his power is at work against us. Our great enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to play with. No, to kill and destroy and eat. And man, the garden of your heart is in constant danger from the invasive stuff around us. Everything is trying to squeeze in. Everything is trying to push Jesus out. Everything is trying to take root and grow in the garden of your heart. Everything. And you've got to weed it, You got to water it, and you got to pay attention and stay alert and vigilant and deal with the things as they surface and take care of them when they're little weeds. And sometimes in September, we find some large trees growing, right? And that's a lot more work to eradicate from the garden of our life. And God is present in that. And he loves us. And he gives us the strength. And in our weakness, his strength's made perfect. And his presence is powerful. And we got to spend time with him to navigate taking care of this garden that God has entrusted to us. The garden of your heart can die. It can be overgrown with thistles and thorns, and it can be choked to the point of just death spiritually. And God's called us to guard our heart in Christ Jesus. Jamie's been working hard, you know, trying to get that place in order. We're trying this at home. And I was thinking, I don't want to just end on like too much like, come on, don't do this, do this, let's go, come on, you know, like, careful, warning, because it's Mother's Day, right? So let me just do a little flip on the head for one little piece. Everything's invasive, right? Everything. But how about you be invasive? How about you invade some flower gardens with love, a little love invasion, right? How about we engage around us and we try to take up some space in some torn down, beat up gardens that need a little rehabilitation around us, right? How about we sneak in and sow a little love, a little hope, a little life, a little miracle grow from the miracle maker, right? That'd be kind of cool. Guard the garden of your heart. Be a little invasive in the people around you. See if you can't maybe spread your dandelions to your friends, right? Something like that. Hey, love you guys. God is good. His presence, his power, his peace. Man, he loves you so much. And you're not called to go out and have a perfect garden, but we are called to tend the garden, to guard the garden of our heart, to work at it and to put effort in, to stay on top so the good things can grow. And scripture paints a picture, Jesus does, where he says, you know, really good soil, those plants grow and they produce fruit and the birds of the air come and hang out and nest in it. It's a picture of a mom who grows up and has a legacy to pass on, a dad who grows up and has a legacy to pass on, spiritual fruit and support and encouragement and shade for the people around him. That's kind of garden we're trying to grow, each of us, even those of us who stink at growing things in gardens. All right, Father, thank you so much for your amazing love for us. Thank you for the amazing moms that you've given us. Lord, some of us in this fallen world have experienced just far less than your ideal design in our relationship with our moms. And Lord, some of us, we talk on Mother's Day and it just hurts to even talk about moms. And Lord, for everybody who's in that boat, Lord, I pray that you would just be a salve for their heart, be an encouragement to their spirit. Help them to be able to think on good things and find hope and joy in the midst of knowing maybe a flawed mom didn't really demonstrate the love of God that you wanted. But that doesn't mean you don't love and care and nurture and protect. You invented moms and you invented a mother's love and you love everyone so much. And Lord, for those of us who've had amazing mom experiences or really great ones or even good ones or even decent ones, Father, I pray, whatever it's been, that you'd help us to find ways to honor our mother, maybe our mother's memory, her legacy, and to build on it for great days ahead. Help us guard the garden of our heart. Help us stay in tune, Lord, with your spirit. You are the master gardener. Continue to give us direction and guidance on what needs to be moved and shifted. The right amount of water, the right amount of soil, the right amount of fertilizer spiritually in our heart, that we might grow to produce great fruit and impact the world around us. Thank you for your love for us, Jesus. I pray you'd walk with us every moment of the days ahead here in this week in incredible ways. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.